just a few minutes here on Central Time, we'll talk to a couple of Wisconsin art teachers about why we should keep being creative and making our own art, even as grown-ups. First, an environmental organization is cutting down trees in a northern Wisconsin national forest. As Glenn Moberg reports, the Nature Conservancy plans to use the money from the timber sales to improve trout streams and wildlife habitat in Forest County.
This is primarily a red pine stand.
Matt Dahlman of the Nature Conservancy drives his 4x4 on a narrow, snow-covered road in the Shawamigan-Nicolet National Forest.
We're going to be harvesting just short of 2 million board feet, and that will equate to about $370,000 of revenue.
It's a new role for Dahlman and the Nature Conservancy. Often stereotyped as a tree-hugging organization, the Conservancy is now in the lumberjack business.
I'm not here to say that we need every tree cut. I think we need old places, and we need places that are being managed.
The 2014 Farm Bill allowed the U.S. Forest Service and the Nature Conservancy to enter into this stewardship agreement, just one of 13 nationwide. The Conservancy is hiring the loggers, selling the timber, and using the money for projects the Forest Service can't afford to do.
Enhancing fish habitat, enhancing ability for people to connect with nature.
On the side of the road, a truck known as a forwarder picks up fresh-cut logs and unloads them into a neat pile. Project forester Ryan Griefy says by thinning the trees, those that are left will be healthier and taller.
If Mother Nature were to take her course, a forest actually deteriorates over time. You got to start taking out the dead trees, the dying trees, the diseased trees.
Griefy says he's happy that the money is going to stay in northern Wisconsin.
So the opportunity to have some funds directly from a local timber sale go right back into the local economy is just great.
The stewardship area of the Shawamigan-Nicolet Forest is crisscrossed by several trout streams, including this one, Simpson Creek. Matt Dahlman says the money being raised from the timber sales will help restore the trout habitat here.
It's a trout stream that years ago was pretty beat up from the old logging era. We used to catch 15-inch brook trout in here.
The money is also going to restore habitat for the endangered Kirtland's warbler and rebuild a handicap-accessible boardwalk on a bigger trout stream, the Oconto River.
Good afternoon, Paul Strong.
At the Shawamigan-Nicolet Forest Headquarters in Rhinelander, Forest Supervisor Paul Strong is excited about the trout stream project.
I'm a trout fisherman. You often have to fight your way through the alders, walk long distances. There's very few trout streams you can simply get to and wet a line.
And even fewer, like the boardwalk project on the Oconto River.
People can get out there in wheelchairs and literally be in brook trout heaven.
Strong says the Forest Service could do all of this itself, but its budget has been stretched fighting wildfires that have become more frequent and more intense.
Whether you believe in climate change and what drives it or not, the weather patterns are different. More of these megafires are happening at very high costs.
The Forest Service gets a 20% match from the Nature Conservancy and also saves money and manpower by letting them do all the work, including hiring lumberjacks like Clint Waldron.
It doesn't get any better than this. Got the best office in the world.
Waldron sits in the cab of a harvester, which grabs a tree, cuts it down, strips the branches off, and slices it into neat logs. He says logging is one of the few good-paying jobs in northern Wisconsin.
If I wanted to stay in the carry, I don't know what I would do that would pay as well and be as enjoyable for me.
How well does it pay?
I hope I'm middle class anyway.
Tree huggers and lumberjacks have not traditionally gotten along. Matt Dahlman and Clint Waldron say it's time for that to stop.
This distinction between tree huggers and people that use the forest and loggers. I think conservationists and people that make a living in the woods are one and the same.
From my experience, tree huggers didn't want a single tree cut, so it's kind of neat to see that we can work together and see that we're not enemies. You know, I love the forest just as much as they do.
If the stewardship agreement works as planned, this forest will be healthier and taller and create both wildlife habitat and jobs. Glenn Moberg, Wisconsin Public Radio News.
Now, most of us have taken an art class or two in school, whether it's required in elementary school or an elective in high school. But as we graduate and enter the world of adulthood, many of us leave the art behind. Making art can seem unapproachable, something to leave to the people we've decided are the creatives, the artist types. Frank and Lynn Zetzman join us now. Lynn Zetzman is an art teacher at St. Francis Xavier High School in Appleton and the gallery director at UW Fox Valley. Lynn, welcome to Central Time.
Thank you.
And Frank Zetzman is an art professor at UW Fox Valley. Frank, thanks to you as well.
Thank you.
So you're here to make the case that we should keep doing art as grown-ups. Let's talk about your lives. Apart from teaching, Lynn, talk about art in your daily life.
I love to make, and it's really important to me. I think to be a producer, not just a consumer, is something that gives me great joy, something that helps me tremendously, having a sense of purpose in life. So I am really involved with textile arts, and a lot of my work is portable. So I can take it with me and bead anywhere. Like, I'll be beading during a Packer game or in the car driving across the state. It definitely happens every day.
And Frank, talk about art a little bit in your life.
Well, part of my position is to create art, and was 25%. And so it really is something I do somewhat every day. And I really think it gives me license to teach. I don't think I could teach without producing work. I really see that with my students. My studio is attached to the classroom or the main studio where the students work. And what they see me working on, my own trials and errors, really helps them.
I want to talk about what I think a lot of adults do and what I do. I still do music now, but any kind of visual art, I'm going to admit, I'm kind of intimidated. I'm not very good at it, and I just didn't stick with it. Lynn, make the case that people in my position should maybe give it another shot.
I don't know that I am totally prepared to do that. I think that it has to be something that you want to do. You know, I think that that has to be the impetus. And I think that older adults that do come back to art making, it's because they really, really want to. There's going to be failures that happen. You know, not everything is going to go well. And there has to be that internal desire to drive it forward. You know, if you don't want to make, I'm not going to make a case for you to make.
And Frank, though, do you think we maybe give up on creativity at some point? Maybe too soon?
Oh, yeah. I mean, even fifth graders, right? All of a sudden, there's a fifth grade one-point perspective realist. And everybody else is still working much more schematically, let's say. And you stop because somebody's really good. And, of course, they're getting praise not only from the other classmates but from the teacher itself. And so you really begin quitting there. And then the longer you get in it, there's this misunderstanding, I think, that art is only valuable if you're at the top somehow, that it doesn't have a place for everybody else.
And Lynn, yeah, do we maybe put too much on ourselves? Like, if we're not making something good, we shouldn't make anything at all?
No, I'm not going to say that at all. And what Frank talked about with the perspective, you know, from coming from the second grader and the rest of them still being stuck in the schematic stage, there is a developmental stage in Western art called dawning realism. And when students realize that they're not making something that looks like a Da Vinci or a Rembrandt, that they aren't any good, and that's when a lot of them do decide to stop. Our daughter, who's 34 now, said that happened to her. She felt like she didn't want to compete with her mother and father, and so she quit making. And in the last year, she lives in Hudson, Wisconsin. She started to drive into the cities and take metals classes at a metal studio. And she is having so much fun making jewelry, and she is the happiest she's been, I think, in a few years. I think that it's giving her a lot of joy. So I do think it's valuable in that way.
Frank, can you talk about the variety of art options there are for us out there? Because I think what pops into my head when somebody says art is it's drawing or it's painting, and the two of you are examples yourselves, there's a lot of other stuff out there too.
Yeah, there's ceramic studios, you know, either at, of course, coursework at a university, but there's a lot of ceramicists have private studios, and they're always looking for students to help pay the bills. There's, you know, like Lynn just talked about with metalsmithing, there's metalsmithing. A lot of the craft areas have that, where artists get out. It's because really it's one of the areas in art where people can make a living somehow. Where painting, sculpture is much more difficult, really. I mean, you can sell work and even regularly sell work, perhaps, but it's not like it's a very easy road. And the crafts, however, are much more accessible. People go to an art fair and they can buy a $30 coffee cup or something that they really like, and it goes in their cupboard and they're kind of proud of it. And so it, you know, there's things like that. There's venues in Appleton, for example, where I work, and where they have life drawing classes for the community. So there's really quite a few options.
And Lynn, what do we get out of making art of whatever sort, even if we're not going to be at that Da Vinci level of quality, or maybe even, I'm sure in my case, we make stuff that nobody's going to pay money for?
Well, I've had a number of students who have pretty high-stress jobs, like lawyers or nurses, and sometimes when we run into each other, they'll tell me, "Oh, Mrs. Z, hey, great to see you. Do you know I'm still making art?" Okay. It really helps me de-stress. So I think that you kind of get into a zone when you're making, and you're in this world where you're problem solving, discovering, and at this point, as an adult, you don't have a teacher giving you a grade, and it's really you who is affirming what you're doing, or if it's not going the way you want it, you're making the decision to correct that, and you're doing what you want to do, and I think it's can be very helpful for de-stressing.
We're talking to Lynn Zetzman, art teacher at St. Francis Xavier High School in Appleton, also gallery director at UW-Fox Valley. Also with us, Frank Zetzman. He teaches art at UW-Fox Valley. We are talking about creating art as adults. And we want to hear from you at 800-642-1234. Did you, maybe after you left school, stop doing the art things you used to do? Did you get back into it at some point in your adult life? What did you do? How did you do it? Did you take a class or just start up at home? Or do you wish you were being creative, don't know how to start, maybe need some inspiration yourself? Call in now at 800-642-1234. That's 800-642-1234. Let us know how you're tapping into your creative side. You can also email ideas@wpr.org. We'll pick up the conversation coming up on Central Time. We're talking about making art in our adult lives. Lynn and Frank Zetzman are with us. Lynn teaches art at Xavier High School in Appleton and is the gallery director at UW-Fox Valley. Frank is an art professor at UW-Fox Valley, and you can join in at 800-642-1234. Do you make art as a grown-up for fun, for stress relief? Do you actually sell your arts or crafts? Did you get back into creativity in one way or another, maybe after letting it lapse for a while? What got you back into it? Call in now at 800-642-1234. That's 800-642-1234. You can also tweet us at Central Time WPR. We'll go to your calls now. Mary is on the line in Monona. Mary, hi.
Hi. How are you?
Good. What's your story, Mary?
Well, I'm a retired teacher from MATC, and one of my main areas was science, so that part of my brain hadn't been used in a long time, and I was kind of interested in ceramics when I was in college, and I had done a little bit of it, but I hadn't done anything in 40 years, so I went to the Wheelhouse, which is an area at the UW, which has different types of pretty much art and classes, and they're at the U Memorial Union, and I took ceramics last fall, and I made things, and it felt so good.
That's great.
And
Mary,
a good time.
Did you feel self-conscious at first getting back into it and having people who knew what they were doing seeing what you did?
Oh, yes, absolutely. You know, but it was really interesting because it was very inviting, and there were a lot of people in different professions there, and graduate students, too, who were taking that really for relaxation and an outlet.
Mary,
it wasn't about, you know, creating the most masterpiece.
Fantastic.
And, it was a small class. And we have, it's an open lab, so you can go in and out, use their ceramics area, use the, as long as you use their clay, you can use their wheels, you can have it fired, you can glaze it. And I actually gave things to my kids.
Awesome. Mary, thank you so much for sharing your story. Frank, is this something that you think is pretty common, people maybe in those retirement years rekindling their passion for an art?
Yeah, I've had a couple of students. Where I teach, it's a freshman and sophomore institution. Everybody transfers. There also are some community members that come. I had a gentleman, he was an executive at Kimberly-Clark, and he actually had studied architecture as a young man and went into business instead through Kimberly-Clark, ended up developing the disposable diaper, and came back and came to me and said he'd really like to start studying art, and talked to some friend of his and another engineer, and the friend started studying art. So yeah, it does happen.
Mary, thanks for sharing your story. We'll go next to Michael on the line in Monona. Michael, hi.
Hi, good afternoon. It's a beautiful afternoon in Monona.
What do you want to tell us about, Michael?
Well, I've had a very stressful career as a consulting engineer, and I enjoy Irish music, and over the last couple decades have been writing dance tunes,
wow,
jigs, reels, hornpipes, and the like, in the old traditional style.
That's fantastic. And then do you play them on various instruments?
Absolutely. And I don't know how to describe how it occurs. Often a tune just kind of shows up in my head. Sometimes I'll very deliberately sit down with some software that I use to score the piece, and it comes that way, a variety of different ways. Some songs also.
Hmm. Michael, thanks a lot for sharing your story. Lynn, that he says he gets stress relief from that, just like a lot of the people you were talking about earlier, Lynn.
Yeah, I think so. And I think it's more than that, though. I think that there's a real joy that comes with the accomplishment of producing. You know, like I said, that I appreciated that I was a producer, not just a consumer, and that you're making something that will give others pleasure or make others think about a topic.
Thanks a lot for that call, Mike, at 800-642-1234. We're talking about creating art in our adult lives with Lynn and Frank Zetzman. Back to your calls now. Guy is with us in Wauwatosa. Guy, hello.
Hey, how you doing? I had a question for him because I was a starving artist for many years, and now I do something completely different. But I'm from Illinois originally, and I used to belong to a China painting club in Illinois. I can't seem to find that up here in Wisconsin. Do you guys know of any place that does China painting or any groups that I can connect up with?
Any China painting groups, Lynn or Frank?
They're really going by the wayside. When I started to teach at UW Fox Valley, there were, I think, three or four venues like that, and they've all closed their doors. So you know, I really don't know of any locally.
All right, well, good luck, Guy. I hope you find some people to paint China with. And Lynn, can you talk about, you know, this could be a social experience as well. We don't have to be the reclusive artist as we do these things.
Oh, absolutely. One of the earlier callers had talked about the Wheelhouse in Madison. In Appleton, there's Fired Earth Pottery, and a number of people rent space and go there. And I know that one of the things that they enjoy is that there are other people there, and they get to see what they're doing and get to discuss what they're making with the other people. So definitely there's a social element.
Guy, thanks a lot for calling in. We got an email from Lacey in Madison. Lacey says, I'm 30. I did a lot of art in high school. My mom was an artist and floral designer. She passed away 3 months ago. About a month after her death, Lacey says, I decided to start drawing one day. It was very therapeutic during a very difficult time. Thanks a lot for sending that in, Lacey. So, Frank, art is a form of comfort in a tough time.
Yeah, sure. It is, and for a lot of people. And I think that's a really legitimate thing to do.
Time for one more caller. I think Cindy is on the line in Spooner. Cindy, hello.
Hi. Thanks for taking my call. I just wanted to mention I have a 4-year bachelor's degree both in graphic design and nursing, and I spent a total of 32 years in those two careers.
Wow.
And now I'm retired from those careers, and I'm a recreation assistant part-time at a wonderful nursing home in Wisconsin. And one of my projects and duties is to come up with the crafts for the residents. And I take great joy in creating crafts that can make them feel fulfilled at this time in their lives. And it's just a wonderful thing, not only for my self-fulfillment, but for these residents.
That's a fantastic place to leave it. Cindy, thanks for sharing your story. And Frank and Lynn, thank you both so much for joining us today.
Oh, thank you for having us.
We've been talking to Frank and Lynn Zetzman about making art as an adult. Lynn Zetzman is an art teacher at St. Francis Xavier High School in Appleton and the interim gallery director at UW Fox Valley. Frank Zetzman is an art professor also at UW Fox Valley. If you are doing art or crafts as an adult, still time to tell us about it. You can tweet us at Central Time WPR and maybe send a picture of your work if you're willing to share. I probably wouldn't be. I'd be very shy about it. I'm not a very good visual artist. But if you're not, please send that to us. Coming up tomorrow on Central Time, do you believe in life after work? A guest tells us that the world of retirement is changing and shares advice to help reinvent yourself and start a new chapter. On the other end of the retirement story, we'll find out why millennials are having a hard time saving for retirement. And Eau Claire's music scene gets a lot of attention these days, and a new project is digging into the history of music in that city. That and more coming up tomorrow here on Central Time.